Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, that they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm 55, and that means that when I was a junior in high school, that this was when Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid came out. And one of the things I always remember about Butch Cassidy was that Sundance was his sidekick. And there's a place in that movie where they're down in South America, and Sundance, as the great sharpshooter, is asked to hit an object that's a few feet away, and he takes his gun out, and he aims, and he fires, and he misses. And the guy turns to go away, and Sundance says, "Can I move?" And the man says, "Move? What you mean, move?" And just about that time, Sundance goes, blam, 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 hits the scene, just destroys the piece. And then Sundance says, "I'm better when I move." I want to first begin by thanking our Episcopal brothers and sisters for the wonderful worship that we have had and how moving I have found this liturgy. This morning, in the midst of holding two books and a couple sheets of paper and singing all kinds of very moving pieces, particularly 885, that I just put all over the place. In the midst of all those prayers and wondering when the next prayer was going to be prayed and when the next lesson was going to be done, and it just kept going and going and going. And after a while, how moving and how caught up in the prayers I became, and how wonderful were the prayers. So that as we sang together, by the time we came to the end of the morning prayer, we were two or three gathered in one. I love the movement of your liturgy. And I love the moving way in which you do that and in which you have welcomed us into this fellowship together. We are in the season of Easter. We're coming to the fourth Sunday. It's about the life of the risen Lord and the difference that life makes for the church. And I've heard people say, "Oh, I sure am glad you're going to preach on these texts because it's Shepherd Sunday. We're looking forward to what you're going to say about the shepherd." But this Sunday, I'm going to say, is really Movement Sunday. And I want to try to explain that. Psalm 23, to me, is a powerful witness of the psalmist testifying to the difference the movement of God makes for the psalmist. Of how God is not a distant God, but a God who comes down. A God who is in the midst of his life, who knows his life, who walks among his life and anoints his head and prepares a meal, even in the presence of his enemies. This God who knows the edges, whose rod and staff have stood forth for him in the deep shadows of death. This one whose legs have dangled over the cliff with the psalmist when he was on the edge, or she was on the edge of her life. The movement of a God who is out front leading down paths of righteousness for his name's sake, leading to verdant pastures, leading to still waters, so that the soul might be refreshed, being out front. And yet this God who hunts us down pursues us with that unique goodness that speaks to God's creating word, and that powerful covenant word that speaks to the steadfastness, the hesed, and the faithfulness, the sadiq. This goodness and mercy that shall follow me, hunt me down all my life. Now, this, of course, for us as the resurrected Lord, is how we understand the resurrected Christ, who has come so deeply into our midst, as the manger testifies to, who comes into the midst of Nain, or into the midst of the temple, or into the midst of the life of a leper, and touches that leper, and anoints, and makes well and new. Comes into the midst of, on the edges of the lives of people, on the edge of Jairus and his daughter, on the edge of Lazarus and his tomb, and calls forth and is with people on the edge in their grief, is out on the Decapolis touching the mute tongue of the foreigner in order that he might first hear and then might speak. This Jesus who was always out front leading, particularly in the resurrection, that if the cross might be a witness to the God who comes to the edge of our life, the resurrection might be the testimony of the God who leads us forth through death into new life. The Christ who comes to bring a hope to despair and a joy to our joy to our fears and sorrows. This Christ who leads us forth into that. This Christ who is our ascension, who is the one who once is at the right hand, as Luther, you know, I had to work in there somewhere, as Luther would speak to the right hand of God, which means that the Christ is able to be everywhere, hunting us down, pursuing us, seeing to it that all might know his love and his life. This surely is what the Eucharist is about. This God who comes into our very midst, who comes to anoint our lives with his life, who comes to speak a word for the ages of our life, who comes to lead us forth, to send us forth, who comes that we might know that his promise will constantly be with us and hunt us down. And it's what calls us then to be shepherds, whether it's a shepherd of a pastor of a parish, or whether it's a kind of shepherd as a parent, that a parent knows that when it comes to their child, it's about getting into the midst of their life. And when their child is on the edge, or whatever it is that brings them to the edge, they're willing to go out there and be on the edge with their child. It's wanting to lead by example, and it's that child knowing this one will always be with them, always ready to hunt them down if they have to. The first lesson of the song really kind of says that God and Christ, the meal, you and I, were better when we moved. Then think of the gospel for today, because it's really about two movements. When I was about 8 years old, I used to love to go down to the elementary school, because elementary school had this double slide. And it was a wonderful thing. And when it got breezed, it was just a wonderful slide. The Gospel of John is a double slide, if you watch it. And if I'm talking about how the Gospel begins, by saying, in the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was with God. All things came into being through this one. And the Word became flesh. And John does not think this is great. John thinks this is a humbling move on the same level, perhaps, as the second chapter of Philippians, of the God who empties himself in order that he might come to bring life. And so he comes down, and there John would have us see that from here on out, this one who's from heaven has come to earth is where heaven and earth touch. It's where heaven and earth meet. So chapter 1 ends with the ladder, Jacob's ladder, where heaven and earth touch, because it's like the navel of the earth. It's the umbilical cord of the earth. It's how heaven nurtures earth. So, the next thing you know, chapter 2, Jesus is turning water into wine more than they could have ever imagined, because that's what happened to earth. Jesus is cleansing the temple and then saying, tear that one down, I'll build it back up in 3 days, because I'm where heaven and earth touches. Then he talks to the Samaritan woman about Mount Gerizim, when the Samaritans think it's where heaven and earth touch. Jesus says, not Jerusalem, it's not Mount Gerizim, it's where I am, because I'm where heaven and earth touch. I'm the fountain. I'm the living bread come down from heaven. I'm the light of the world. I'm the life and the resurrection. And he comes to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, right in the middle of the gospel, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And he's ready for the next part of the slide. Because then he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This one who in chapter 1 is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, now becomes the shepherd who will, in chapter 19, only in John, become the Passover Lamb. The God becomes shepherd, the shepherd becomes Passover Lamb, so that this one can rescue us from real sin, evil, and death. And when we come to that chapter 19, we see another movement that joins us at that point. And that's the movement of when I am lifted up that starts really at the end of chapter 1, because the Hebrew word for ladder comes from the Hebrew verb that means to be lifted up. And then at 3, 8, and 12, Jesus says, when I am lifted up, either like the bronze serpent in the wilderness, or when I am lifted up, all will know me, or when in chapter 12, when I am lifted up, I will draw all to me. You see at the quarter, the half, the three quarter. And then in chapter 19, he is finally lifted up. And so the dark slide coming down and the being lifted up meet, because when he's on the cross and the cross is set down, the touching of heaven and earth is lifted up, and the door is hinged between heaven and earth. And there in chapter 19, John would have us see how earth meets heaven. And it is that it takes the nurturing life of heaven and crucifies it. The movement of the meal from John is a movement this way. It is the clashing of the word against the sinfulness of our life. It is the Passover Lamb who has come to rescue us from powers of sin that we cannot escape. Of a Christ who comes to have his blood pass so that we might pass through. That we might be given a life we would not know were it up to us to find it on our own. But we know the one who knows us and calls us by name, who provides for us the abundant life. And so there is a movement of coming to have our lives confronted by heaven touching our life, and a forgiveness coming that can turn our lives around because we know of a Lord who loves us so much he comes to rescue us, comes to deliver us from real powers of sin, evil, and death. Now I think the lesson from 1 Peter is really a mistake. If you go to the verse just before this text, it says, slaves, render, accept the authority of your earthly masters, not only if they're good and gentle, but even if they're harsh to you. And then what follows that we read with such adoration about by his wounds we will be. That's just an audacious way of telling slaves to take what they're getting. And I think this 1 Peter text on this day is a lesson that shows no movement. What happens to the church, what happens to us when we do not take the humility of Christ, do not take the life that seeks to become the rescuing agent for another, that does not become the Passover lamb for another, that will not come through the midst, that will not go on the edge with, that will not seek to lead for one, that will not hunt down one that's missing or not having the life that should, we end up with a wonderful sounding word about Jesus. But there's really no movement. And you know, a flock of sheep that just stay in one place, After a while, there's really not that much to eat, except ourselves. The meal is also a sign of sending, that God's people would be sent out so that the humility of Christ might be a humility agent for the world, that the rescuing Christ might be embodied and lived by Christ's people going out. It's interesting that, of course, in 1 Corinthians, the meal gets dangerous when we stop discerning the real body, that the Christ that is here. And the meal becomes dangerous to everyone whose oversight overlooks. It is dangerous because there is a justice that undermines and underturns even the church when it seeks to no longer be the power to rescue, the power of humility, the power of being in the midst of the lives of others. We're not better if we don't move. And then the lesson in Acts, which is a wonderful, wonderful text. I love the movie The Two Towers from the trilogy Lord of the Rings. Some of you may know this, but I've seen it enough times now that when I see it's going to come on television, I just wait to the last 15 minutes and then I turn it off, because that's my favorite part. And the last 15 minutes, these little Ents, well, these big, tall trees called Ents come out, and they take over the evil tower on one end, and on the other, Gandalf, this great figure, comes to the rescue with a huge host of people all behind him, and they go down and they save and rescue the day. Oh, the last 15 minutes. That's the best part of the whole thing. I love the movement in that. Well, that's what our lesson for today is in Acts, you know. It's the last 15 minutes of the second chapter. Second chapter is 47 verses long, and it's already taken several weeks for us to work that through. But the power is that the front and the end are connected. It's the engine and the caboose. And the engine begins on the day when the apostles were all together. And the chapter ends, and on that day after day, Jesus was saving them. They were all together. So the apostles being all together is important. But all who believed were together. And every day they were together, doing the same thing that made the life of the church be the church. And in the middle of that chapter, of where God draws all the apostles together so that the Spirit may bring life, as the Spirit comes, then Peter stands up and he says, I declare to you that Jesus Christ, who was crucified for your sin, is not dead, but is the risen Lord of life. And I declare to you that his promise is for you and for all your children, and that nothing can separate you from that love. And then those who heard it believed and joined that group, so that there is a movement in the Acts, which is to draw all people together, to draw them around as God's people. This is the movement I believe our Lord is about, a coming down to be in the midst, a coming to rescue and to confront, a sending us, a gathering us together, so that at his feet we hear his word, receive his meal, and are sent out again and again and again. At our baptism, we say, let your light so shine that you may see others, so that those who see your acts may glorify your Father who is in heaven. But when your neighbor sees you in gentleness and humility, seeking to understand their life or to speak on behalf of others, and they say, why in the world are you doing that? You can say, well, I'm an ambassador for Christ.